Let's bring in Jeff Merrick. He is host of the NHL and Sportsnet, the CHL and Sportsnet, and Hockey Central. Mr. Merrick.
Hello.
Your tweet yesterday, going through Twitter, your tweet about it's pick a side weekend.
Yep.
For sports. Absolutely summed up, I think, a lot of our feelings on this.
And it continues, right?
Well,
I expect every Penguins hockey player to be asked about this. I expect every NHLer to be asked about this. This is one of those times where you really can't sit on the fence. This is choose a side. You know, do you support this or do you not? Let's just get it all out on the table. Let's find out where everybody stands.
What Pittsburgh did,
you know, I understand why they kind of did it. They just don't want to rock the boat. But this situation is inherently political. Now they're choosing to go or choosing not to go is a political move.
Well, you know, I guess I understand that, why they don't. I have no idea why they chose to weigh in the middle of what was happening yesterday.
I have a theory on that.
Okay, well, go ahead, Jeff.
They're there on October the 11th. So I think the plan, like, Pittsburgh's in Washington on the 11th, so they may have already been planning to do it then. And that has been the plan all along. They were planning, I'm speculating here, planning to release that information over the weekend, and no one told the PR department to not send the press release.
Wow.
Otherwise, because I can't imagine a sports organization in North America would be that tone deaf.
Well,
on that day to send out that release and give Donald Trump that win.
See, I mean, I kind of look at it a little differently. I might have sent it out on that day because with everything going on, and Stephen made the point, look, you're attracting more attention to the situation than you normally would. But I kind of see why, and I don't know if it's the right move, Jeff, but I can kind of see why a PR department would think, okay, here, let's get it out now. My concern is that, my concern is twofold. As I said, I almost buy the show respect for the office argument, and I'm certainly no supporter of Donald Trump, but I almost buy that argument. You know, providing the Penguins ownership doesn't say that all their players have to go. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Brunt kind of made a point today about Trump's already taken to Twitter to say, look, the Pittsburgh Penguins are coming. These are good guys. Look, the Penguins are coming to the White House.
They're fine people.
So he's turned that around and made it political. My concern, though, is...
He's made them... I can pause on that.
Yeah.
He's made them pawns in all of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like the one thing that we've seen with Donald Trump is he is loyal to nobody and he is loyal to no thing. He is loyal to a win. He is a nomad that is searching for wins. He will betray anybody around him. He will betray his entire party if he has to, as long as he gets a win. And after getting smacked by the NFL, after getting smacked by the NBA, after getting smacked by Robert Kraft, the Pittsburgh Penguins handed Donald Trump a win, and he hung on to it.
Yeah.
And now they've made themselves pawns in all of this.
Your explanation, I guess it makes as much sense as any, Jeff. Like, again, I can't imagine a better argument for sober second thoughts. Let's hold off on this. Let's not say anything today. Let's go talk to the players one more time because the world has shifted. And, you know, and the meaning of this visit has shifted in the last 24 hours. Maybe we ought to rethink this. All of those conversations you would think would have been happening within the Pittsburgh Penguins organization yesterday. You know, it's not something you want to get ahead of in the middle of that.
And further, Jeff, I'm sorry, I cut off your point. I just want to make one more quick
point. Go ahead.
Maybe have a bigger discussion about this. Don't forget, this is all on the heels of the NHL, the Players Association, the stakeholders of hockey, you know, releasing that declaration of principles, and hockey is for everybody, and words like inclusion. And, you know, this is only a couple of weeks ago. And much like rights, they need to be exercised, right? You need to take rights, you need to take human rights on the treadmill every now and then. You need to take them to the gym. They need to be exercised. They need to be flexed. These are human rights being flexed. If the Pittsburgh Penguins end up going to the White House, and if the Stanley Cup is there, does that piece of paper mean anything?
Can't argue with that.
This is a first test for this declaration of principles we saw from the NHL and the Players Association.
Is there a chance, do you think, that even though the Penguins have already said they're going, is there a chance, do you think there's any opening here for maybe that sober second thought to still take place?
I would like to think so.
You know,
I just know how hockey is.
Yeah.
And I think this is a sort of quasi defense of the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think I know what they're doing. They don't want to get involved in this, right? Like hockey is, and hockey players come from privileged families. It is an expensive sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way, you know, perhaps outside of Ryan Reeves, there's really no one that can relate to what NFLers feel, you know, about police brutality, about their rights, their position in America. You know, the lion's share of people in that organization can't relate to that. They don't want to be part of it. But now, to Stephen's point earlier, they've been, well, I shouldn't say they were dragged in because they handed this to Trump. They've become part of this story because there are the bad guys in the NBA and the NFL, and there are these good guys here in the NHL with the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's the narrative according to Trump. But I can see what Pittsburgh is trying to do here. We don't want to be part of this. We don't want to get dragged into it. But there are just some times you do get dragged into making a decision that is political and politically uncomfortable. And that time is right now for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And, you know, Sidney Crosby, God love him, he's going to be answering this from now until October 11th. Every city,
and that,
this
and
is
that
the question.
And if they go, that picture of him standing next to Donald Trump and shaking his hand will perhaps haunt him for the rest of his career, if that happens.
Hmm. Now, the league hierarchy, were either in China, you know, over making, trying to make money in China, or on their way home from China when this was happening, Jeff. What does the league do? This is not a situation, and again, I forgive Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and all the rest of them. They come home and go, what in the heck are we going to do, and don't have an answer, because I'm not sure I have one. I think it's a very tricky position for the league right now. Yeah. It's uncharted territory in a lot of ways. But what, you know, when, if you land in New York in the middle of this, what do you do?
It's a great question too, because I was wrestling with this all yesterday. If you're, you know, that the office on Sixth Avenue in New York City, what do you do with this one? And honestly, I don't know, and I don't want to just say something glibly and off the top of my head because it doesn't do the topic justice. I don't know what they do. I mean, you can strongly encourage, you know, Mario Lemieux, the ownership group, to reconsider. Maybe you come up with it's a scheduling issue. You know what? We thought we might have had time, but it's not going to work this time in October. We're back in Washington later. Maybe we can do it then and sort of kick the can down the road.
Unless you can kick it to 2020, it's going to be a problem.
well, that's just it. Like, when is there a good time to do this? There's really not. It's not good.
I don't think the league can stand up and say you're not going, because this has always been...
Always.
It's a team thing, right? And it's got nothing to do with the league.
And, you know, we saw something like this in 2011 when Tim Thomas didn't go to the White House, not a supporter of Barack Obama. And, you know, the NHL, you know, didn't force him to go. The NHL, you know, has never intervened in these situations before. So to do so now, I think would be troubling as well. I think it's all got to come down to Pittsburgh Penguins ownership. Or dare I even say... Does it have to all come down to Sidney Crosby, who's already weighed in now, by the way, and said that, you know, it's an honor to be invited and all that kind of stuff that he may somewhere down the road later regret? It's got to be one of the heavyweights.
I think it's on the I really do think it's on the players. I don't know. I think Penguins ownership has really kind of put their guys in the corner here. And then, you know, I find it odd because, as Mr. Brent pointed out to me, you know, the Penguin, this is... The Penguins ownership, the Penguins president. I mean, these are Democrats. These are guys who, you know, put their money where their political affiliation is. And it wasn't to Donald Trump. This isn't sort of another example of a right-leaning sports owner marching in lockstep with Donald Trump. These are, you know, a couple of guys you'd like to think may have been a little more politically aware. Maybe that's the thing that surprises me the most about this, now that I think about it, because I didn't realize it, is the fact that a pretty political aware ownership would do this. Like, it doesn't seem to make sense.
But doesn't that come back to the previous point that they really don't want to involve themselves?
Mm.
Like, this is so very hockey, just not to rock the boat, just go along to what we've done before, you know, just close your eyes, turn your brain off, and march and salute, and just do what you're told and do what's always been done.
Yeah.
You know, I always come back to, you know, Michael Franti was a lead vocalist slash rapper in a band called Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy. Mm-hmm. And he disbanded the group because, in his mind, you know, he would look out at the concert and everybody would be singing along. And he said, when everyone's chanting, no one's thinking. And in a lot of ways, you know, that rings true of sports as well. And more so, and in a lot of ways, specifically hockey, where you just do what you're told and you just do what's always been done before. And that's the right way. And that's the only way. And that's kind of how I felt about the Pittsburgh Penguins on the weekend. They're just doing it because it's always been this way, you know, regardless of, you know, the noise and the greater sports culture around them.
Well, and hockey is, you know, again, I'm not, you know, hockey hasn't had a Muhammad Ali figure, but hockey has not been kind to unconventional thinkers within the game of hockey, I would say.
Oh, what's the old, when I studied martial arts, my instructor used to always say, the protruding nail gets hammered down.
Yeah.
And is that any more true than in the sport of hockey? You're right. It doesn't encourage individuality. It encourages, you know, follow this pattern, follow what I say, do what you're told, don't rock the boat, which in a lot of ways, you know, has probably kept a lot of hockey players in the closet too.
Mm-hmm.
There's that sidebar to that flaw. What do we always hear? Don't be a distraction.
Right.
Oh, don't be a distraction to the team. Don't step out. Don't maneuver to an inch to the left or an inch to the right because you'll become a distraction from the team.
Well,
but now you can make the point that the Pittsburgh Penguins ownership have produced perhaps the biggest distraction we've seen in I don't know how many years in the NHL. By agreeing to go to the White House.
And Sid, you know, is the embodiment of that, right? And I say this with no malice, but, you know, he's the greatest player in the game, the most famous player in the game, you know, inherited the mantle of Gretzky and Orr and Lemieux and, you know, anybody you want. And tell me something about Sid Crosby. You know, tell me something about Sid Crosby that's not about his game. Tell me something about him. He's a blank. And he's, you know, he's cultivated being a blank. Because again, that's, you know, in a lot of ways that goes with the culture and the way we've become accustomed to thinking of hockey players as kind of cliche spouting guys with towels around their necks.
The Oshuck superstar, right?
Yep, exactly. And we embrace that though, Jeff. That's part of the myth,
I know.
Right?
Oh, I know. Well, listen, I put out a couple of tweets yesterday, and man, did I get it back. About this situation, and it's from, you know, diehard hockey fans that are just, you know, leave this out of this, you know, stay away from this, you know, to this point, you know, this one bugs me more specifically now when we see what's happening in Calgary, this idea that, you know, leave politics out of sports. Well, if we leave politics out of sports, then the Calgary Flames ownership group is funding their arena all by themselves, correct? That they're not going to.
Thank you for bringing up our other favorite topic. I really, that's great. Thank you, Jim.
Right? You know, yeah. It's like I'm sorry. They are intertwined. Politics is the interaction of people, and you know, the interaction of people socially and institutions. And by definition, you know, that's sports. I'm sorry. Then,
well, sports stresses
every now and then it just sort of rises to the top, and that's where we're at right now with hockey.
And sports dresses itself up in nationalism and patriotism. It just does. It's to the point where you, if you're aware of it, you almost have to fight against it, you know? Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping, my dream is that this eventually leads to the national anthem not being played before sport events. I don't think that will ever happen, although
I'm with you on that.
I'll tell you what, I'd be willing if it does happen, the NBA is going to be the first league to do it, and I really do think at some point we may see some North American league take the plunge, but man, it's
you know, the problem with that is, Jeff, I'm not sure who that's a win for. Now talking about wins, you know, Jeff said the only thing Trump cares about is a win. Is that a win?
It's
for
true.
I know it's a win for, again, if we had that conversation 6 months ago, I would have said, yeah, that's an incredibly rational thing to do. It was brought in, first time the anthem was played in North America before a sporting event was the 1918 World Series in wartime, you know, as a propaganda tool. It's, you know, you could erase it and you wouldn't be losing anything. But now, if the NBA stopped playing the anthem before games, how would that, imagine the spin that would be put on that right now. Who wins on that one?
Well, yeah.
You know, again, I'm not sure we can have that as a conversation in a vacuum anymore.
I can imagine what the first the first tweet would be.
Yep.
From the tweeter in chief. Mr. Mayor, as always, we appreciate you joining us. Your insight is greatly appreciated in this. Thanks so much.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good morning.